Hi, my name is Phaedra Trethin, and this is News It or Lose It. Today I'm going to talk to you about how to be a smart, critical, and discerning consumer of news, and how to use crap, that's C-R-A-A-P, not to take any crap. But first, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a news reporter with the Courier-Post, a daily newspaper and website in South Jersey. I've been in journalism for almost 18 years in a variety of roles, from the sports desk to news editor to the online desk. For 3 years, I wrote a column about media and journalism. I've been recognized by the New Jersey Press Association for my headlines, news, and column writing. Okay, now you know a little bit about me. Let's talk about the news. Once upon a time, the people who brought the news to you were among the most trusted people in the country. The Edward R. Murrows and Walter Cronkites, who came into our living rooms every night and told us, literally, that's the way it is. Well, that's not the way it is anymore. Today, our means of receiving news is fractured. We can pick and choose what information we get and who gives it to us. Journalism has been democratized. Anyone with a smartphone and an internet connection can disseminate pictures, video, written information, and call it news. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's great that citizen journalists can bring on-the-ground, real-time images and information to a mass audience. And frankly, in the old days, when it was mostly white men deciding what was newsworthy and what wasn't, they brought their own biases and perspectives to the job. Today, there's a much greater variety of voices and viewpoints, and there are valuable stories being told today that might have been ignored in the past. But citizen journalists aren't trained in the same way as professional journalists. So after the break, we'll talk a little bit about the things that make journalists, well, journalists. Hi, I'm Phaedra Trethin, and this is the News It or Lose It podcast. We're talking about how to tell news from nonsense. In this portion of the podcast, we'll discuss what separates journalists from everyone else who's trying to get your attention. First, journalists are trained to look at all angles of a story, to question what we're told, and to verify everything. If I write a news story, any news story, I try to talk to at least two or three different people. If I'm writing about a particular issue, it's my job to talk to people on all sides of that issue. And if I can, to find an objective voice, like an academic or an industry expert, to give the reader an overall view from an unbiased perspective. My stories aren't just written by me and then published. They're read by someone else, and sometimes two or three someone else's. The job of those editors is to question me and my reporting, to make sure I told the story completely and objectively, to make sure I got my facts right, to make sure I talked to the right people, and that I didn't leave anything out, and to make sure I kept my opinions and prejudices out of my reporting. Journalists do make mistakes. We hate to do it, but it does happen. I think one of the best ways to tell if a news outlet takes its responsibility to its readers or viewers seriously is to see whether they acknowledge and correct their mistakes. There are some red flags that can tell you whether a story is legitimate journalism or whether you should approach it with some skepticism. One is the use of unnamed sources. Having people speak anonymously is acceptable in some circumstances, like protecting someone's personal safety. I've spoken with undocumented immigrants and victims of violent crime without publishing their names. But I did get and verify their identities and provided that information to my editor. And in any stories where I used unnamed sources, they were not the only people I relied on. I also spoke with other people whose names I did publish so that I could corroborate what was told by those whose names I could not use. If a story's full of unnamed sources and no supporting sources who do provide their name, it doesn't necessarily make it false or fabricated, but it is a story the reader should approach with some skepticism. A news story in which the writer includes his or her own opinions is not objective journalism. It's editorializing. Again, that doesn't make it invalid, But readers should keep that in mind as they're reading this. One thing I wish more readers understood is the difference between commentary and news reporting. Commentary and columns can and often do include the writer's opinions, but when you're doing a straight news story, you should never include your opinions on the subject matter of that story. In fact, I've actually tried to not reveal my opinions or politics to anyone except close friends and family. I feel like the more my opinions are out there, the less credibility I have in telling stories objectively. If you see something outrageous, check to see where it might appear. Is it only on social media, or are a variety of other news outlets reporting the same information? Are they reputable news outlets, or obscure websites, or partisan websites that you've never heard of? Considering the source of the information goes a long way toward deciding whether it's legitimate. Look at the date something was posted online. It's amazing how often people post old news on Facebook. Sometimes you'll see an image that sparks outrage or another strong emotional response. But you have to ask yourself, is it real? Is it current? Is it relevant to this story? Has it been manipulated? Context counts. Sometimes the image doesn't match the story, but it's still attached to it so people will click. Read the story, and don't concentrate too much on the images. And while we're talking about reading, read past the headline, especially online. A lot of websites are only concerned with clicks, so they'll post headlines that grab attention and encourage sharing on social media. But once you get past the headline, you might find the story doesn't reflect what that headline says, or that there's a lot less to the story than the headline might imply. When we come back, we'll talk about crap. Yes, crap. C-R-A-A-P. Hi, I'm Phaedra Trethin, and this is News It or Lose It. We're talking about how to use crap, C-R-A-A-P, to tell news from nonsense, especially online. So, you've seen something posted online, and you're not sure what to make of it. Ask yourself if it's real, if it's trying to make you angry or outraged, or to act on it, or to share it with friends and followers. The best way to evaluate what you're reading is, well, crap. That's C-R-A-A-P. And while that might not be the most elegant name, it fits. The American Library Association came up with this litmus test for evaluating information, and it's a succinct but pretty smart way to detect, well, crap. C is for currency. Is this timely? Is this the most updated version of the story? R is for relevance. Does it provide the information you're looking for? Did the information come from the right sources? Is it presented in the right way? A is for authority, which is basically about considering your source, something I've already discussed. The second A is for accuracy. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. And P is for purpose. Why is this information out there? Is it meant to inform? To persuade? To make you act upon it? Or does it simply leave you asking more questions? So, now you know how to be a smart consumer of news. You know how journalists do their jobs the right way. And you know how to use tech crap to tell news from crap. That's News It or Lose It, and that's a wrap. Next time on News It or Lose It, we'll talk about some of the challenges facing the news industry and how they affect you. I'm Phaedra Trethin. Thanks for listening.